Amen. Hebrews chapter 10. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 10. Praise God. Let's go ahead and begin reading in verse 35. He's talking about those who have been persecuted for their faith, those who had their material goods plundered for believing God. And he's told them in verse 35, to cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. Praise God. Now the just shall live by faith. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back to perdition or destruction, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Verse 1 of chapter 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Praise God. Amen. So we're going to look at tonight about using our faith to please God. Without faith, you cannot please him. For those that come to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Praise God. So we're going to look at that tonight. Praise God. In the context of this, we'll touch on this here a little bit, and then we'll expand out from that. In the context, the writer of Hebrews is writing to the Hebrew Christians who have, according to verse 33 and 34, they were made a gaze in stock. They were made fun of. They were put on trial and they were mocked. And the Bible said that in verse 34 that of chapter 10. He said, you have compassion on me in my bonds, and you took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing that in yourselves you have in heaven a better and a more enduring substance. Praise God. So these were people that knew that they were saved. They knew that this life is but temporal. It's here for a little while. It's like a vapor. It's here and it's gone. But praise God, we know when we go for heaven to heaven and we get those glorified bodies, it's forever and forever and forever. And we've got a mansion over in glory where we're heading when we leave this earth. Praise God. And that's more enduring. So they believed God. They were saved. But because they were saved, the devil came and bought persecution to them. And the purpose of the persecution and the spoiling of their goods was, and taking what they had, was to get them to let go of their faith, to get them to give up, to get them to turn back and go where they were going instead of going towards God. And how many know whenever you go towards God, that's when the devil's going to throw the biggest fit? Right? I mean, he's not gonna throw a fit if you're just serving the devil and doing your own thing. He doesn't care. But once you make a decision to go after God, you're gonna see this big big pouty fit of the devil rise up and attack you in every way he can to try to get you to give up. But you remember the old song, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, right? Not gonna let the devil blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. And in the prison, they put this in there. You can take my mattress, but I'm gonna let it shine. Somebody try to take something from you, but you're still going to let the light of God shine. In other words, you're not going to give up your faith because of something adversity comes against you, something adverse comes against you. Praise God. You know it's the devil trying to steal your faith to get you to give up. Why? Because at the end of your faith, God is. Praise God. And as long as you keep your faith, you and God stay connected. But if you give up your faith and cast that confidence away, then that separates you from your God. Even though God still loves you and he wants to minister to you and he's concerned about you, it's our faith that keeps us connected with God. So he says in verse 35, he said, don't, of chapter 10, don't cast your confidence away, praise God. Why? Because it has a great recompense of reward. And in this particular portion that he's talking about the eternity in heaven, praise God. He said, don't cast it away. There's a great reward on the end of that. And then he said in verse 36, you have need of patience, Praise God. That after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. So once you do God's will, once you act on a promise, the promise isn't always instant. You have to have patience, right? The Bible said that Abraham, through faith and patience, he inherited the promise, right? So Abraham believed God, and after all those years of believing God, the promise was fulfilled, and he had a son by the name of Isaac, which means laughter, praise God, because he had a son in his old age. So we have to be patient, praise God. And then he said in verse 38, "Now the just shall live by faith, and if any man draw back, my soul will have no pleasure in him." And it's obviously that God can't have pleasure in somebody that lets go of heaven and lets go of their walk with him. So the just shall live by faith. Faith is our connection to God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Without faith, you cannot please God. For those that come to God must believe he is, and he's the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So let's just show real close there. Go a couple pages to the right, and you'll find the book of James. James chapter 1. Praise God. So we're talking about using our faith to please God tonight. Praise God. Bible faith. Amen. Faith's a powerful thing. It comes out of God's word. Praise the Lord. And it produces something powerful on the inside of you when it's real and it's alive. That's why the devil doesn't want you to have any of it. Praise the Lord. So he's talking about in wisdom in James chapter 1. He's talking about people that need wisdom. But there's a truth here that goes throughout the life of faith. It says in verse 6, "Let him ask in faith." And he's talking about if you need wisdom. "Nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed." Here it is. "Let not that man think he shall receive anything from God." So he said, if we waver, we cannot receive from God. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. So there's a thing about faith there that we have to know. And wavering is not the devil throwing thoughts in your mind. That's not wavering. Wavering is on the inside of you if you really believe that it's God's will and that God will do it. But he said, you have to ask in faith, nothing wavering. How many know that it's God's desire, and just because it's God's desire to do something, how many know it's not automatic in our lives? Right? If God has a desire to do something, doesn't mean it's just going to happen. For instance, is it not true that God desires everybody on this earth to get saved? Doesn't the Bible say that? Then why isn't everybody getting saved? Because some people are not putting faith in it, right? They're not putting faith in it. And why is it that some people put faith in it, and then according to the sower sows the word, they stop putting faith in it because Satan comes to steal the word with persecution and affliction, choke the word, and the word becomes unfruitful in their lives, and the devil then can separate us from God. How many know the Bible says that the baptism of the Holy Ghost with speaking with tongues is for everybody that's born again, right? But how do we receive it? By faith. So this faith thing's important. If we waver in it, then we won't receive it. Doesn't mean we're not saved. Doesn't mean we're not going to heaven. Doesn't mean we don't love God. But we're having trouble in faith receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And the same thing's true with all of the promises of God, with healing, with provision. All these come by faith. And then how does faith come? Amen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It literally means your spirit man hears the voice of God out of the word of God. Hearing the word, praise God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why the devil will fight you so hard to keep you out of this book and keep you in a place where you're staying in communion with God, because faith's a living thing, praise God. It's powerful. And when you get in the word of God, faith arises, praise the Lord. And little alarm bells go off in hell. Ding, ding, ding. Uh-oh, someone's in the word. Someone's in faith. Someone's believing God. Do your best to get them away from that path that they're on, because if they get on that path and taste of the Lord and the goodness of God, you'll never get them off. Praise God. And I mean, it's just, I got to watch how I say this, but we're worse than addicts. When you really get saved on fire from God, man, you can't get enough, and you got to tell everybody. But this is good news, praise God. This is not a bad addiction. This is a good addiction, praise God. This addiction brings life and brings it more abundantly, praise God. So then let's go to Matthew chapter 8. Praise the Lord. Matthew 8. I don't want you to answer this out loud. I want you to answer this on the inside of you. I'm going to just ask you a question. This is on the inside. Are you believing God for something? Whatever it is. And if the answer is yes, which we all should be, praise God. Then my next question is, what scripture are you standing on? Because if you don't have a scripture you're standing on, you don't have a basis for your faith. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, I just think God will. That's not good enough. We have to have scriptures for it, praise God. So here in Matthew chapter 8, the Bible says in verse 1, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Notice he doesn't know it's God's will. He said, I know you can, but I don't know if you will. And what did James say? Ask in faith, nothing wavering, because if you waver, you can't receive from God. So he's not receiving because he doesn't know it's God's will. How many know God's word and his will are one? The promises of God are yes and amen. And Jesus put forth his hand, touched him, and said, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy was cleansed. Praise God. So he didn't know God's will, so he couldn't have faith in it, right? Where does faith begin? Faith begins where the will of God is known. And the will of God is found out in the word of God. When God reveals his truth to you, then you can put faith in it. And not until then. Now, here's the way. Now faith is. Faith is always right now. Praise God. I'm saved now. Not off in the future somewhere. I'm saved now by faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Praise God. So then, if you pray this way, you're not praying in faith because you don't know if it's God's will. Now, there's some areas where you don't have a promise on it that you can pray this way. For instance, if you got two different places you can go, you're not sure which way to go, pray, God, show me your will in this. Reveal your will to me, then you can find it and know. But if you got a promise, you don't have to pray that way. If you're praying this way, God, if it be thy will, save so-and-so, heal so-and-so, fill so-and-so up with the Holy Spirit, provide for needs. As long as you're praying, if it's your will, that's not faith. That's something off in the distance, not even sure what God's will is, kind of hoping out there. You know, oh, I sure hope so. Well, that's not faith either. Now, faith is, praise God. Faith has it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. He didn't know it was God's will. But how many know that God's will is revealed in his word, praise God? And what God said is true to every person. God is no respecter of persons, praise the Lord. All right, let's go to another one. Kind of lay some foundation here. Let's go to Matthew chapter 9. Praise God. Matthew chapter 9, verse 29. Brother Darrell, can you read that for me? Praise God. So Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. So according to whose faith? Your faith, right? Or my faith. According to Greg George's faith, be it unto me. According to Daryl's faith, be it unto him. According to Kathy's faith, be it unto her. So we receive from God according to our faith, praise God. Now let me pick on somebody here and ask them a question. I'll pick on Trina just for a minute. Trina, are you saved? Are you healed? Does God meet your need? All right. Now she didn't say, I hope so. She didn't say, if it's God's will. She didn't say, I guess. She just said yes. Why? Faith, praise God. She knows the word. That's why I picked on her, praise God. Because she knows the word, and she knows faith has it now. She's saved. She's healed. She's delivered. She's free in Jesus. He meets those needs, praise God. Praise the Lord. So faith in that knows the will of God and stands on the promise of God. And that's what hooks God up to you. And we're going to share with that a little more here in just a second. But Philippians 4:19. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 is one of those famous scriptures, praise God. And I'm not going to look at verse 13, but if you don't know where it's at and you've heard it and you want to know where it's at in your Bible, look at it, mark it, and highlight it, because it's another one of those good promises, praise God. But I want to look at verse 19. He says this, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Notice there's no doubt in that saying. There's no maybe. There's no if. It's just a statement of fact. That's what faith is. Are you saved? Yes. Praise God. "But my God shall." Notice. I want you to notice how personal it is. "According to your faith, be it unto you." But my God, he's personal. My God shall. There is no ifs, ands, or buts in that. My God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Man, isn't that a powerful scripture? Praise God. I mean, if you live by the word, the just shall live by faith. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When you read that, you ought to get a grin from ear to ear. Praise God, because it's alive on the inside of you when you read it. Praise God. I said, amen. Praise the Lord. My God meets my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Praise God. That's faith. All right, let me give you a little illustration. Praise God. When I got saved and I knew God called me to ministry, and I began to apply my heart to knowing God and knowing the Word and have my life transformed by acting on the Word and go from glory to glory, renew my mind to God's Word and build my life on the principles of the foundation of the Word of God, praise God. And so for the first 7 years of my Christian life, I was doing that, going through Bible study courses and all that kind of stuff, attending church, doing ministry, working a secular job. But in 1994, praise the Lord, on April Fool's Day, on April the 1st, I went to the God opened the door for me to go into the full-time ministry, praise God. But I had a knowing on the inside when I went, and I just knew. Now, mind you, now I've been working secular work. And, you know, you have steady income and all that, steady job. We didn't get laid off and all that. And so there was always a paycheck there. And I learned how to tithe and stand on the promises of God and all that. But when I went to the ministry, it was just a small church. It was just a handful of people. And they were all elderly people, just a few younger couples in there. And so I went into the ministry. God opened the door, praise God. But I just, and there, you know, there wasn't nothing concrete in the natural of how much income was going to come in and all that kind of stuff. I knew that I knew. That's what faith is. If I would obey God, that he would take care of me, that he would supply my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And like I said, you know, when you step out in faith and act on God's word, and because once I do that, once I obey God and step out on his promises and act on his word, that puts God responsible to take care of me. And I want you to know your God's faithful to take care of you, praise the Lord. And so I stepped out and believed God, and all those alarm bells went off on hell. Uh-oh. Stop, Greg. He's heading towards God and doing what God wants him to do. And so, I really didn't notice it. Debbie told me about it later, but we were in the mall. And you know, when you first go, you know, things were tight at first because, you know, there were limited finances there. But I want you to know, God was faithful, praise God. God met my need according to his riches and glory. But I don't forget, we was going through the mall one night. And like I said, this struck Debbie more than it did me, but we were going through there. and we were going through in the gumball machine. You know, the gumball, they strategically placed gumball machine. It's right there so when the kids will make sure they go by it. So they whine to mom and dad, and you give them a gumball just to get them off your back, right? So we're going through there, and Debbie starts crying. Well, what in the world? And she didn't have a quarter to buy a gumball. And I told that story one time. But you go through the test, don't you? The trying of your faith works patience. You got to be willing to stand on the word, praise God. And I told that story one time, and when I told it, that was a Sunday morning at a service, and on Sunday night a guy came back, and he handed me a roll of quarters. He said, "I don't want you to ever be without a gumball again, brother." Praise the Lord. All right, go with me to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. I'm talking about faith that pleases God. Praise God. Ephesians 6. I tell you, when you're willing to stand in the hard place and either God comes through or you sink, you're going to see God come through. Praise the Lord. In Ephesians 6, it's talking about the full armor of God. The scripture says in verse 13, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand." Notice that. After you've done everything, what are we supposed to do? Just stand, right? That's it. Having done all, stand. And he says, stand in the full armor of God. So here's how the biblical system of faith works. You can find it in Mark chapter 4. It lays it out so perfect. And the sower sows the word. The sower sows the word. You act on it. Satan comes immediately to steal the word. But if you won't let the devil steal it, it's like a seed planted in the ground. It'll grow. First it'll come up the ear, then the corn in the ear, then the full corn in the ear. Then you can harvest it. Praise God. Having done all, to stand therefore. So here's how it works. God tells Moses, go down to Egypt. Tell the children of Israel, God has sent you down here to deliver the people. Go to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Moses goes down to Egypt, goes to Pharaoh and says, let my people go. And he said, who said so? God, the great I am. He sent me. And Pharaoh, well, who's he? You know, in our minds it would have been, you show up, hey, God said, let them go. Pharaoh, okay, go ahead. But that's not the way it is it? When you stand on the word, when you stand on the word, you're about ready to turn the heat up. Because the devil's going to find out if you're really going to stand on it or not, or whether you're going to fold. He said, having done all to stand, stand. Don't quit. See, that's when that wavering comes in. That's when the pressure gets put on, and you know, and there's not a quarter to buy a gumball. Are you going to run back and try to figure it out, or are you just going to keep standing on the promises of God, praise God, and wait a few years down the road, and you'll have more quarters and you know what to do with. Praise the Lord. But you stand on the promise, praise God. Let my people go. He said, no. I said, all right, I'll send a few plagues your way then, soften you up a little bit. You know, we know the story. The 10 plagues come. Finally, the firstborn's killed. I mean, it gets so bad that Pharaoh comes to Moses and said, look, leave. Not just only leave. Take all the gold and silver with you. Please just leave. And they did. And there wasn't one sick one among them. And they took their gold, they took their silver, and they headed out of Egypt, and they're headed for the promised land. And what happens next? There's a Red Sea. And Pharaoh goes, what was I thinking? I'm going back after him. And so he goes out there, and there's Moses. We know the story. He's crying at the foot of the Red Sea, and God says, what are you crying to me for? Take the rod and stretch it out over the sea. Then this is what he said, stand still, having done all to stand. Stand still and see the salvation of your God. Praise the Lord. God split the Red Sea. They went through. Pharaoh made his biggest mistake. He followed after him. And when he got halfway out there, I love it. The children of Israel went on dry ground. They got stuck in the mud and drowned. Praise the Lord. And the horse and the rider washed up off the sea onto the bank. And Miriam and Moses had a good time on the other side of the Red Sea, standing on the promises of God. Let me give you another illustration. I want to look at a few more scriptures. What about the prodigal son and his brother and their father? Faith that pleases God, standing on the promises of God, believing God when the pressure's put on, you don't give up. The prodigal son said to his father, the brothers came there and he said, divide. He said, give me what's mine. Give me my inheritance. And the Bible said he delivered both of his sons their inheritance. And the younger one, the prodigal son, he went out. He wasted his substance with riotous living. He spent it all, and when he got hungry and he didn't have any food to eat, he ended up working, feeding pigs, slopping them, and desiring to hustle. And the Bible said finally he came to himself and he said, even my servants in my father's house are doing better than I am. Isn't that a picture of us as sinners lost out in the world in the pig pen? And we decide we're going back to God, praise the Lord, to find that place of salvation. And I like this because the love of God, God the Father, was looking out there and he saw his son come, praise God, and he was moved with compassion and ran. And now this is the prodigal son's mentality. I am not worthy to be called his son. I just want to be a servant. I done lost my position of sonship. Just make me a servant. I don't even deserve to have shoes or a signet ring or a robe or anything. And praise God, he gets home and his father says, baloney. Put a ring on his finger, shoes on his feet. put a robe on him and kill the fatted calf. My son was dead, he's alive, he's lost, and he's found. How many know the Father's good pleasure to give his son the kingdom back? How many know it's your heavenly Father's good pleasure to give you everything in this word, praise God. Matter of fact, everything belongs to Jesus, belongs to us in him, and we receive it by faith on the promises of Almighty God. But think about another guy that's in the house, his older brother. He's been there the whole time. And before we get to that, let's go to Romans chapter 4. Faith that pleases God. How many know it pleases God when we receive his promises? It pleases God when we stay in faith. And as we stay in faith, it keeps us connected to God. Praise the Lord. In Romans chapter 4, it's talking about Abraham becoming righteous by faith before he was circumcised. And circumcision was the sign of faith and a sign of the covenant that he was within God. And the Bible said about faith in verse 17, as it is written, God speaking to Abraham, I have made thee, past tense, a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead and calls those things that be not as though they were. Praise God. So what did God say to Abraham? His name was Abram, right? God called things that are not as though they were. Why? To make them become that. So God changed Abram's name from Abram to Abraham. Abraham means a father of a great multitude. But he did not have children. But how many know there's power in God's word to change the situation he's in to make him become that? Praise God. There's power in the word of God to make him to be fatherless to a father of a great multitude. Verse 18, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations. According as that which was spoken, so shall your seed be. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, bringing glory to God, being fully persuaded that God did a promise, was also able to perform it. Praise God. That's faith, amen? That you don't consider yourself and your abilities and your weaknesses. You just simply consider God and his promises, and that he is able to perform that which he has promised. Praise God. All right, I'm going to help our faith here tonight, praise God. Verse 22, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. All right, hold your place. Well, let's read a little bit further. Now it was written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, so that's you and me, to whom it shall be imputed, righteousness, if we believe in him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Go back to chapter 3 just a second. Hold your place there because I'm going to come back. But go back to chapter 3, verse 25. Whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Praise the Lord. Okay, so there it says that we put faith in the blood of Jesus and we're declared to be righteous. Go back here again to chapter 4, verse 22. It says, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. So Abraham believed God, and what happened? It was imputed to him for righteousness. I'm talking about faith tonight, and I think this will maybe can help our faith and to increase our faith. To understand how God looks at things, because that's where faith comes from. When you understand how God views things, how God moves, then faith believes that. Then it can walk in line with that and harmony with that and receive the blessings of God, praise God. Because a lot of times, our faith is, in our minds, is based on how good we've been doing as a Christian. And there is a lot of, I'm talking about when we're believing God for certain things. You know, the devil will start coming against you. Well, you haven't been going to church enough. You're not holy enough. this and that. You know, all these things will start. How many know he's called the accuser of the brethren? He's a liar. And if you don't know God's word enough, and you haven't been trained enough yet to cast down those imaginations and recognize it as a devil, you might believe that. And if you believe that, then that, tell me, no, that totally wipes out your faith. The devil will say, look at you. And then he'll start his little list of all the, you know, how many things you've messed up, how many bad thoughts you had. I mean, you slipped up and did this. You did this. You did that. Well, here's how God views things. How many know there's none of us righteous? No, not one. So that means if we're going to stand before God, and this is how God looks at things, the only way you can stand before God is righteous is to be 100% righteous. And that's it. There is no 99.9% that he'll accept. That's close enough. One sin's one too many. He will not accept that. He's a perfect and he's a holy God. How many of you know there's only one person that fits that qualification? And his name is Jesus Christ. He's the only one who never did any sin at all. Zero. And then he died on the cross for all of us unholy ones. Thank God he did. Amen. And so when he died on the cross, he said, through faith in his blood. Now here's the way God looks at things. Jesus rose again on the third day with the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And his blood is a propitiation for all the sins of the world. Whosoever will, praise God, can look to Jesus Christ and say, forgive me, Lord. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and be my Savior. Jesus will come in. And this is so powerful. And he will cause me to be born again. And the Bible says there in verse 22, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Faith was imputed for righteousness. Faith was counted as righteousness. Okay, so I stand before God. Now, I have no righteousness to offer God. None. So God says, all right, Greg, the only chance you have to get into heaven and to be right with me is to accept the sacrifice as my son, of my son. And if you accept him as your Lord and Savior, then I will allow your faith be put in him to be counted to you for righteousness. For instance, let me say I owe Daryl $1 million and I didn't have anything to pay him with. And Daryl said, all right, Greg, here's what you do. Bring me a bucket of crappies. For those of you who don't know, that's fish. Praise the Lord. bring a bucket of crappies and give them to me, and I'll count that as $1 million. I'll accept that as $1 million that you owe, and we're back even. Well, I don't have anything to offer God. So God said, all right, I'll give you my word. Here's my son. He died for you. And I'll give you my word that if you'll accept him, I will give you his righteousness. And so I can put faith in that. I can't put faith in my own works, but I can put faith in that. I can believe that, praise God. And so I put my faith in that. And here's the powerful. You say, yeah, but brother, you know, okay, that's just a legal term. You're declared righteous. No, it's far more than a legal term. You are the righteousness of God. You were made the righteousness of God. It didn't leave you an old sinner saved by grace. The power of God came on the inside of you, and the righteousness of God came on the inside of you, and you were born again. You were raised up. You were one with him. You are right. The Word of God says we are righteous even as he is righteous. You know why? Because there's only one standard that God will accept, and it's his. Praise God. And so when you put faith in that, God accepts you as his son, praise God, or daughter, and you become a child of God. All right, let's read two more verses right there, and I want to go to one more verse. We'll go back to the prodigal son. Chapter 5 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. But notice, after you're justified, you have access into the grace of God. How? By faith. Praise God. So then, grace is something that you don't work for. It's a gift, praise God. All right, go with me to 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4. Verse 1 John 4:16 says, "And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him." He's God. Highlight, underline, do something. The little phrase that says, "We have known and," here it is, "believe the love that God has to us." Let them little words jump out at you. Believe the love that God has towards us. Believe it. You believe God loves you? Now this is 100%. Don't you like it when you get something's got 100% on it? 100% pure grape juice. Praise God. Nothing added. 100% pure agape love that God has to you. Not just to the whole world, but to you. You got to make it personal. You got to come to the place. And this ought to make faith rise up on the inside of you. Believe the love that God has for you. Don't believe your ability to be so perfect and holy all of your life. I mean, does anybody here have a relationship with anybody? Isn't it true that it's based on love, not works-based? Me and my wife have a relationship. We love one another. My love towards her is not based on whether she jumps through all the hoops that I demand her to jump through. It's based on my love towards her. It's not based on her works. It's based on my love towards her. Now, obviously, works better when that's reciprocal, going both directions, but it's based on love. My relationship with my mom and dad when I was growing up was based on, I knew I was accepted in their house because they loved me. It wasn't based on my good works. What are you laughing at? I'm kidding. It wasn't. You were not allowed in the front door of my house when I was growing up. You had to come through the back door. One day the policeman brought me home, and I knocked on the front door. And I said, "Mom, somebody's here to see you. Who is it?" "It's the police." "It is not. Go around back, Greg." "Come in the back door like you're supposed to." I said, "I'm telling you the truth, Mom. There's a cop out here. He wants to talk to you." See, I was welcome in there, not based on my works. Based on her love for me. Now, obviously, I wasn't making her happy, but my acceptance in the house was not based on my performance. My acceptance in the house was based on their love for me. Now, when you come to that place in God where you realize that our acceptance in heaven, in his promises, in his blessings, are not based on my performance. It's based on my faith in his love. Now, if I come to the place where I put my faith in his love, it'll change the way I live my life, praise God, and I'll live with the holy life, because God's power then will be released in my life where I can do that. And I don't want to sin because I love God and I want to please him. But if I sin, then the devil comes with his condemnation, starts beating me over the head and says, how can you claim to be in God's presence and all this? How can you claim to be? Well, I got faith in his love, praise God. I believe the love that God has for me. I believe that, and I'm not going to allow the devil to take. I believe the love that he has. I believe he wants me healed. I believe he wants me blessed. I believe he wants my family saved in there, not because of my works performance, because of Jesus' work. Abraham wasn't given a son because of his works. He was given a son because of his belief in God's ability to perform it, praise God. And I'll tell you what, when you get a hold of that, it'll set you free. And so you got the prodigal son. His relationship with his father's works performance and not faith performance and not based on faith and love. So the prodigal son comes home and they're having this big party in the house. And the other guy, the older brother, who's holier than thou, who hasn't gone running off anywhere, but yet he hasn't enjoyed any of the father's blessings either. So obviously he's not spending much time in fellowship with his father, because he doesn't know things about his father that his other brother knows, that when he came home and found out about, praise God. And so the older brother says to his servant, he goes, "What's all the music in the house?" He says, "Oh, your brother came home and they're having a party." And he got mad at his dad. And you know the Bible said he wouldn't even go in the house? He said his father had to send somebody out to go talk to him. Man, you talk about somebody who doesn't believe the love. He's basing everything in that household based on works, based relationship rather than based on love. He said, you go tell Dad, I haven't sinned against you. I haven't done anything wrong. And yet my younger brother, who wasted all this money with riotous living with the harlots, he comes home and you throw a party for him. And his father says, son, he goes, all I ever had has always been yours. Isn't that something? He said, it's always been yours, but he never tasted of any of it. Why? Because he's not believing the love towards his father. He's not living in that open relationship with God that he should be living in, praise God. And he's basing everything on, am I being good enough? And if I am, then God will see it and dump it on me automatically. And that's not the way it works. Praise the Lord. One more place and we'll wind it down. Praise God. Romans chapter 8. Faith that pleases God. Praise God. We ought to show up into the throne of grace and say, here I am, God. Praise God. I don't deserve it, but here I am. Praise the Lord. I believe you love me. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. It says, what shall we say of these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Praise God. Praise God. He said, if God gave his son up for us, then how will he not with him freely give us everything? Then he goes on to talk about nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. So I think this is one of the points that God really wants to hammer home to us tonight. Put faith in his love. Put faith in his son. And when you go to him in prayer, say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord. See, when you do that, you put faith in everything Jesus has done, in his love, his death, his burial, his resurrection. You know, I can put faith in Jesus' ability to receive from the Father on my behalf. I got a hard time getting it on my own. But I don't have a hard time believing that Jesus is my great intercessor. And Jesus said, you can come to the Father in my name. Last illustration, praise God, and I'll close down with this. And that is when, I'll bring my Uncle Jim into this one again. when I was working for J.C. Wilhelm, Inc., when the sawmill was in business there, he had accounts up here at Manchester Hardware Store, C&O distributors, RMS Race Shop, and all that. And a lot of times, I was the gopher. When we needed something, if something broke down, needed a hydraulic hose, needed acetylene or oxygen for the torches or something, I was the one, a lot of times, that went and got it. And this was one of the parts I really enjoyed about that. I would go there, and I'd get to buy all this stuff and put it on there, and I'd say, put it on J.C. Wilhelm's account. Praise the Lord. And all I had to do was sign my name. I didn't have to pony up a penny. I didn't have to come up with anything. He was paying the bill. I was just to go for signing for it. It's fun spending other people's money. But in all honesty, it was always for him. It was never for me. How many know you can abuse that? People do that in business and get caught, right? They get a card that's given to them for business things only, and they go out and use it for personal use. How many know that takes all the fun out of it? It really does. All of a sudden, there's guilt that comes on you and condemnation. But it's fun when you're doing it right and you're going. See, now, I'm at this point, that person was not looking at my ability to pay the bill. They were looking at his credibility. And he had established a good name over the years that he paid his bills, praise God. And so all I had to do was use his name, and they were glad to do business with me, and I didn't have a dime in my pocket. All I did was sign his name, praise God. How many know it's the same way when you go to prayer to God? I come to you, Father, in Jesus' name. And I get to sign it at the bottom, faith in his blood, Greg George, praise God. And his promises are yes, and they're amen. And that pleases God. And you know what? When I would do business in his name, my Uncle Jim's name, it was for his benefit, for his company. But how many know at the same time, it was for my benefit because I worked for him. And if his company's doing well, then I was doing well. right? And if it wasn't going well, then I'd get laid off. So it was all of our benefits, and it all worked out, praise God. And when I stepped in, and this works the best. Faith works the best when you can stand there in all honesty and say, God, I'm in the center of your will. Because then when you say, Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, praise God, then it's God's benefit and my benefit that we're blessed. Amen? If I'm doing God's will, but if I just got his little card, little promise card that I swipe, but I'm never doing God's will, how many know that doesn't work too well? It's hard to have faith in that. But if I'm saying, all right, God, I'm doing your will, praise. I am in the center of your will. How many know, praise God, as a believer, I can get accomplished more for God if I'm walking in his blessings, praise God, and there's an open heaven over my life, praise the Lord. And he loves me. He loves all of us, praise God. Put faith in his promises. He's a good God. He's your Father, and he loves you. Amen. I know this. It's not childish, it's true. Be able to say, God loves me. Be able to look in the mirror, God loves me. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know I'm in overtime, but that's why the devil fights so hard to break the family up so people can never taste of what true love is. Because if the family's whole and people grow up and understand what true love is, and you tell them that God loves you, they can understand that and put faith in that. But if families are just hell on earth all the time and people are just raised up and they're screaming and hollering, you know, and they say, I love you. That's like the guy that goes home, beats his wife, and tells her that he loves her. Oh, really? Well, I appreciate it if you stop loving me, please. You know? Amen? But if you got true love from a human being, the love of God coming out to you, and then you tell them God loves you, then they can get a picture of what that love is, praise God. You can put faith in the love of God. Amen. Father, we thank you tonight that you love us, that you care for us. And Lord, your word said not to cast away our confidence. May we keep our confidence in your love and your ability to take care of us and meet our needs, praise God, to be our God. We're your children. You're our God, and our eyes are on you, Lord. We love you. We praise you. Keep us all strong. Let our light shine. Not going to let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Going to live for you, Lord, all the days of my lives. I'm going to grow in grace, and one day I'm going to see you face to face. Praise God. So keep us strong, Lord. Bring us back. Let the women come together again tomorrow night. Rest of us, Father God, for prayer Saturday, church Sunday. We give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all.